This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. It's 2:30 p.m.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Shelley Gillert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for September 3rd, 2021.
This is about my 30th anniversary on WBAI. And when your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said. And I'd like to address the floods that are devastating our area. Not only is the climate crisis making storms and storm surges worse, but city planners never give anywhere for storm water to go. The Netherlands have been taking land from the sea for centuries. Because of sea level rise and storm surges, they have been giving land back to the ocean for years now. We should do that in the U.S. too.
Today, we show you climate change from another angle.
The impact of the military and how its emissions are routinely exempted from climate agreements.
Our guests will introduce themselves so you have a voice to go with the name. Cindy?
Hi. Before I do anything, I just want to thank you all, Sally, Donna, and Ken, for having me on. I'm really looking forward to hearing from Alice and learning from her. I'm on the board of the Unitarian Universalist for a Just Economic Community and a lifetime member of Veterans for Peace, where I serve on the steering committee of the Climate Crisis and Militarism National Project as the outreach director, both domestically and internationally.
Alice?
Hi, nice to meet you, Cindy, and I'm very glad to hear you're working on those important issues. I'm on the board of World Beyond War. We're working to make the end of war on the planet an idea whose time has come. I also serve on the board of the Global Network against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and I also represent the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation at the United Nations. I'm their NGO rep. and a bunch of other things, including I've been working lately with Code Pink that's trying to make the connections between climate and militarism.
Alice received a Nobel Peace Prize with ICANN just a few years ago.
Together with about 2,000 other organizations and people, yeah, but we did. We worked on a 10-year campaign that managed to get the United Nations to negotiate a treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons, to ban the bomb. We never had that before. We had it for chemical and biological. And we won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2017, and we were all at the great event.
Okay, and Alice, you had some things that you wanted to add.
About what?
I mean, I did say Alice, didn't I? Cindy.
Oh.
Hey, Cindy?
Okay, just go ahead then. So for many of us, from the Gulf Coast to the Northeast, we're dealing with the devastating impact of Hurricane Ida. And the science is clear that unless we take urgent steps to reduce our carbon footprint, the future will bring more frequent and worsening extreme weather events. Relatedly, I don't think we have a chance of mitigating our climate future if we fail to include U.S. military emissions in that equation. Taking us out of Afghanistan as a start, but we can no longer turn to the military and wars to resolve conflicts with other nations. We must turn to diplomacy first. The U.S. DOD is the world's largest institutional user of fossil fuels and consequently the world's largest institutional contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. A single F-4 Phantom fighter uses 1,600 gallons of highly polluting jet fuel per hour and more than 14,000 gallons at supersonic speeds. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan between just 2001 and 2019 put 1.2 billion metric tons of emissions into the atmosphere, where they will remain for hundreds of years. Further adding to that blueprint are burn pits, weapons testing, training, and war games using live ammo and bombs. Further adding to the blueprint are blueprints, burn pits, weapons testing, the supply lines are a massive proportion. Hundreds of military bases stateside and approximately 800 overseas, with 39,000 Superfund sites, are responsible for 30% of military emissions. Environmental physicist Dr. Omar Clay tells us that we only have 30 years of oil left on this planet, and that a military based on fossil fuels can last little bit of fossil fuel to bring death and destruction rather than using it to face the existential threat of climate. The military is anything but transparent. The DOD has been practicing stealth pollution on low-income communities, incinerating deadly firefighting foam in U.S. and around the world without even informing those communities. Secrecy and disinformation are really a part of military operations because everything is classified or overclassified. And this is a real problem for democracy. Secrecy, while accepted in special ops and CIA, has resulted in abuses. We recall Abu Ghraib. I'm sure the Afghan people recall that. Much is being hidden from the American people. For example, few of us are aware that so many of our warfighters are actually less accountable private military contractors. The DOD's use of military contractors serves to provide the actual military presence in nations when, for example, we reduce troops in an area, leaving unknown numbers of contractors behind. Contractor death rates in have at times exceeded that of our own. secrecy and disinformation have also served to keep military emissions away from Congress. As we face another COP26 shortly, the existential threat that has never been more precarious is in our face. The question is, will the rich
Cindy, let me stop you there, because I hear the word existential threat used in the peace movement and the environmental movement, and I think the average person doesn't realize existential threat means it's an ongoing threat and it's happening right now. It's not some sort of abstract thing. There is so much data to back up what Cindy and Alice are telling us. I think rather than drown you with numbers, check their websites. We link to everything. All the information they're going to give you is linked from the ecoradio.org website. Now, Alice, you were talking about what Code Pink had to say on their website. And that's a peace group that is adopting environmental issues.
Take your
Zoom off.
Say it again. How should I speak? Like this?
Go ahead.
Without my phone?
No.
Your phone, but without your Zoom. Live radio, folks.
Hi. I've been working to make the links between militarism and the climate. I mean, they had a big climate march in New York, and Code Pink, we worked so hard to even get a section marching in there to say there is no plan B and to make the links. Because if we're going to, I mean, if you want to talk about an existential threat being what we're living through right now, yesterday, I live on the 11th floor in Manhattan on York and 86, and the elevators weren't working, and I could not walk down 11 flights and up 11 flights, so I was imprisoned in my home for about 20 hours without an elevator because of the floods that came in from Ida, Hurricane Ida. We're totally unprepared for it, and the Congress is dithering. You have this incredible influence of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about, but there's this wonderful man, Ray McGovern, who was the CIA briefer for Clinton and Bush. He was a top CIA guy, briefed them every morning and quit in disgust with U.S. policy and formed VIPs, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And he says it's not the military-industrial complex, it's the Mickey Mat, the military-industrial, congressional, institutional, media, academic, think tank complex. And we are so brainwashed by this, it's so hard to get this information out about how the military, what all the things Cindy just told us, they're the biggest polluter, and we can't even get that into the conversation with the environmental groups. That's what we're trying to do at this COP meeting in Glasgow, where Code Pink listed 10 reasons why the military is part of the problem, which Cindy addressed all of them back. I'm not going to repeat it, except it is the greatest fossil fuel user on the planet, and if it was a country, it would be rated like 47th in how much out of the 200 countries, the biggest pollution. So anyway, we're trying to get this into the conversation. And as I said, we now have, when you're talking existential threat, that means like they call this the Anthropocene era. We had extinctions. We had global extinctions. And this is like anthro is humanity is causing a global extinction of the life forms on Earth if we don't get our act together. So we have very little time, and they're dithering. You know, you still see the Congress is so... If you take a look, William Hartung from the Institute for Policy, he's analyzed how much money Raytheon and Boeing and all those are giving to the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the Congress. They're all bought, and the media's bought from the commercials, so people are not getting the message. That's why this program is so important. people have to know that it's real, it's imperative, that, you know, maybe Afghanistan is an opportunity for us to see how badly things went, that maybe we'll rethink it. But what do you have? Biden's already turning, he's picking on China, he's picking on Russia. Why? Because they ran out of terrorists to sell their arms for, so they're going to make a new enemy out of Russia and China so they can keep their business going, their corrupt corporate business that's killing the whole planet, and Mother Earth is sobbing. So we have to really get our act together on this right now.
Ecologic did a show about the Copenhagen climate talks and about the Paris climate talks. And one of the things that we all noticed is that corporations are in the room to write the climate contract, and environmental activists are not in the room. They're excluded. They're excluded not only from the talks, but from being anywhere near them. The corporations get to write these climate agreements, not environmentalists. And this has been going on a while. And I think that explains the military's exemption every single time.
You know, I don't think the Air Force
are going to make a big... Let's go, Alice and Sally.
They're going to make a big showing at COP so that we will get the voices of civil society into that meeting, because it's abominable that they never counted the military as a source of pollution. We want to get the agreement changed, and that's what we're all working on. So everybody should look at the website of Ecological and Code Pink and get to that. We have to... We're mostly in New York, I guess. We got to get to Schumer and Gillibrand and the whole New York congressional delegation, you know, or if you're not in New York and you're listening to your own senators and congresspeople, and make them change the rules of the game, because we can't afford it. I just want to give you one statistic. I wrote a report in 2005 about a sustainable energy future is possible now, and I had a statistic in there that we were giving $50 billion a year in subsidies to the Pentagon to guard the oil tankers coming back and forth from the Middle East. Imagine what $50 billion you could, you know, you could put windmills on all the buildings in New York, or you know, the whole eastern seaboard, and have enough energy that we don't have to do the fossil fuel, the subsidies going to the dirty energy. Even now, there's a bill in Congress where the Green New Deal is going to be nuclear and biomass. It's not green. Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about that as long as I can remember. I remember living in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and seeing Sikorsky helicopters going overhead, and said, you know how many people that can feed. You know how much peace that can create instead of war. We've been talking about that for as long as I can remember. Sally, you had something?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the average person, when they hear about the COP talks and they think that, you know, we're discussing, people just assume the military is included with everything else. Thank heavens for, you know, World Beyond War and Code Pink and folks who are finally saying, this can't be included. This has to, you know, this has to be considered. You can't just, you know, exempt the military from everything.
Cindy, what should people do?
I completely support everything that Alice has to say. In fact, the military is the sacred cow, and I think people don't understand that confronting the DOD is different from, you know, putting down a soldier or something. But we are really and truly out of time, and the military emissions are just horrible. You know, big oil really has played an insidious and effective role in ensuring and hiding the dark truths about fossil fuels' impacts on climate, and been effective in thwarting action. I mean, going back to Dick Cheney, he was the CEO of Halliburton and very much a player with the American Petroleum Institute when he came into the White House. I'm sure he was aware then that the API's deep collaboration with Enron's highly effective disinformation campaign was having an effect. And then in 2014, Edward Snowden released documents showing
that the NSA was spying on COP delegates in 2009 in order to undermine COP negotiations. So a lot is hidden from us. Militarism and the military-industrial complex or the national security state or whatever we want to call it is undermining democracy, and it's bringing us military actions are bringing us climate change. And in that, they actually fail at their core mission, which is supposedly our true national security.
So I guess what Cindy, Alice, what you're saying is, and we only have 60 seconds each to say it, is education. All right, let people know, let all your family, your friends know that the military is the biggest polluter that the U.S. has. And because people don't know it, the big greens aren't going to tell you. I don't know why. But Ecologic will tell you. WBAI will tell you. And Cindy and Heister and Alice Slater will tell you.
Yeah, and I saw a World Beyond War petition to include the military missions in COP26 talks.
Right, that's what we're working on. And, you know, there's more than just learning. There's like taking action. The kids get it.
If I can interject here, what we've got to do is win this battle requiring the DOD to report emissions annually and reduce them. And Veterans for Peace has written a resolution to that effect with Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California taking the lead. She is not quite ready to ask for other legislators to sign on as co-sponsors. I'm not sure she's got the language of the resolution.
Hey, as Cindy has been telling us, time is running out. And as usual, time flies by on this show, so we need to wrap it up right now. But thank you so much, everybody, for joining us, guests and audience.
Thank you so much.
All right, wait. Now you can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI FM.
And those of you online, go to www.icanw.org. It's ICANW.org or worldbeyondwar.org, World Beyond War, or Veterans for Peace, Veterans for Peace. They all have information. We link to them on ecoradio.org because there is a lot of information on the connection between climate and the military. And you can listen to this show again and any of our past shows and get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the many weeks of action planned for the fall months leading up to COP26 in Glasgow at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up for our email list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
And there are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI. Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next. Or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or a BAI buddy.
And to become a WBAI buddy in the name of Ecologic would be the perfect way to show your appreciation for the 30th anniversary of this week of Ken and Gail bringing you important information over these WBAI airwaves. So show your love for Ecologic and help us stay on the air.
Become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic. Congratulations, Ken.
Thanks. And we always appreciate our excellent engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. And thank you, Cindy Peister and Alice Slater, for all the wonderful work you have given to the globe. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillard.
And I'm Donna Stein. And join us in 2 weeks, Friday, September 5th, 17th at 2:30 p.m. when we preview Greenwash Week.
Give me the warm power of the sun. Give me the steady glow. WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. There is, quote, no question that the Delta variant is to blame for the disappointing August jobs report, President Biden said in remarks today. The U.S. economy added a meager 235,000 jobs in August, well below the number of new jobs recorded in June and July. Economists are attributing this slowdown to a sharp increase in coronavirus case rates, driven by the spread of the Delta variant. The slowdown in the leisure and hospitality sector was particularly acute, dropping from about 400,000 new jobs per month in June and July to zero growth in August. State and local government employment also took a hit, adding to the roughly 800,000 jobs already lost in the sector since February last year. The overall unemployment rate dropped 5.2% last month, but black unemployment increased slightly to 8.8% after falling earlier this summer. As the economy struggles to recover from the coronavirus recession, an estimated 7.5 million workers are set to lose federal unemployment benefits next week on Labor Day. Those benefits had been credited with staving off greater economic collapse and providing an extra safety net on top of limited state benefits. Roughly two dozen GOP states prematurely ended federal benefits this summer, arguing that it would push people back to work, but data suggests there was no economic gain to the benefit cuts. The former Minnesota police officer accused of fatally shooting Dante Wright during a traffic stop is now facing a more serious charge in the black man's death, the state attorney general's office said. Former police officer Kimberly Potter is now charged with first-degree manslaughter in addition to a prior charge of second-degree manslaughter. Thursday's new charge falls short of the first-degree murder charge sought by Wright's family and supporters. Potter is scheduled to go on trial November 30th. In Georgia, a former district attorney has been indicted on misconduct charges for her role in interfering in the murder investigation of Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man who was chased down and shot to death while out for a jog last year. A grand jury is accusing former prosecutor Jackie Johnson of covering up for the three white men involved in Arbery's killing and shielding them from criminal charges. Johnson asked police not to arrest Mike Michael's son, Travis. The father and son, as well as their friend, William Bryan, are now facing charges, including felony murder. Children accounted for more than one-fifth of the total COVID-19 cases in the U.S. for the week ending August 26th, according to data from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association. While child COVID-19 cases declined in early summer, they have increased exponentially with more than a five-fold increase the past month, according to the Academy. The death toll from Hurricane Ida's blast through the Northeast continues to rise. At least 48 people died Wednesday and Thursday, state and local officials said. 23 deaths were reported in New Jersey, 16 in New York, 5 in Pennsylvania, 1 in Maryland, and 1 in Connecticut. Many died in flooded homes or while overtaken by water in or outside their vehicles. The rain broke records set just 11 days before by Tropical Storm Henri, heightening concerns about climate change. Mayor Bill de Blasio called the record rainfall, quote, the biggest wake-up call we could possibly get. July 2021 was the hottest month ever recorded in the 142 years of record-keeping in the United States. Currently in Washington, it's sunny and 77 degrees. In New York, it's partly sunny and 73. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and